Well, the Northwoods of Wisconsin, you know, we think about it, I think peace, calm, pristine wilderness for people to visit, and a lot of people seek that out. But in the Loon Lake Mystery Fishing Series, these woods can also be a pretty dangerous place, as we find out when we visit with Victoria Houston, who is the author of the Loon Lake Fishing Mysteries Series. Her latest is Dead Deceiver. That's the title, Dead Deceiver. It's the 11th installment in the series. She lives, writes, and fishes in northern Wisconsin. It's great to have her back to talk about her latest in this series. I've read 9 of the 11. I missed 2. Victoria, are you there? Let's see. Have we got you there? Hi, Victoria.
Hi. So we're going to discuss murder, mayhem, and fishing.
Why not?
Oh, well, I wonder which 2 you missed, Larry.
I have them written down.
Okay.
And I actually looked online once, and they were, you know, they're out of print. And I think one was somebody wanted to sell me a copy for like $185.
Oh, right. On eBay.
On eBay, and the other one was like 200 and something.
Well, actually, just so listeners know, they're sort of not exactly out of print. They're simply being in the process of being moved from one publisher to another, to a new one, and they'll be all of them in print by the end of the year, and they are all of them available as Nooks and iTunes and very shortly on Kindle.
Oh!
Yeah, so Dead Deceiver's up as a Kindle currently, and all the titles are up at those other 2 sort of venues, if we call it that. And then we're just waiting. Amazon has them as Kindle versions. They just haven't put them up. I think 2 million people are trying to get their books up on Amazon right now. A little bit of a backup.
Oh, man. Well, let me address our audience here for a minute. I'm wondering if you've read any of Victoria's books. What do you enjoy about them? Maybe you're an aspiring writer, could use some encouragement, or maybe you're just curious about the process that writers go through to create their works. I know Victoria would be happy to talk about any of that with you, and you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. And we'll be happy to pass that along to Victoria. You know, here you are, the 11th, and I think I asked you this. I'm sure I must have asked this the last time you were on. But did you ever imagine when you were writing that first book, which I think was Dead Angler, wasn't it? Dead Angler, that you would be kind of living with and writing about these characters more than a decade later?
Oh, not at all. In fact, as I finished that book, I was sort of sad. Because I thought, you know, I really enjoyed kind of all these people that I've sort of met while writing this book. And now I'm going to have to think up a whole new batch. And that seemed rather daunting. And so my agent got back to me, and this is after I had submitted, maybe 4 versions of an earlier book that was so bad, she told me to just don't even show it to someone who loves you unconditionally, you know. So I was a little tentative sending her the first manuscript of Dead Angler, but she got back right away, and she said, not bad. And she said, but publishers like series. Is there any chance you could write any more books using these same characters in this setting? And all it took me was like one glass of wine, and I had synopses for 2 more books in the series right away. But I'd never envisioned, you know, 11, and of course right now I'm working on number 12, and I have a contract for number 13. And from my perspective, I'm hoping to continue. I mean, some of my favorite writers have written, you know, 18, 20 books in their series, and I certainly see myself doing that.
Well, you know, I guess when you read one and then you read another one, I think I probably read about your 8th book, maybe your 9th book first, and then I went back and bought the earlier editions because I wanted to see how things got started.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of fun, and you get you develop a kind of a fondness for the characters.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I have, you know, my one character, Ray Pratt, who is sort of like early 30s, very good-looking fishing guide who tells really bad jokes. But I have more women, when I give talks, more women come up and say, how about a name and a phone number? They say, I'll support him.
Well, is he based on loosely on anybody?
Well, you know, all three of my main characters are distilled from memories I have of people when I was growing up. And I always quote Willa Cather, who's one of my favorite writers, who says that writers write from the memories they have from before the age of 13. And for me, this is very true. So Ray Pratt is really distilled from memories of one of my brothers who was a fishing guide, who did indeed dig graves when things were slow,
yeah,
and who did wear a stuffed trout on his head. But also I have two cousins who were from Stevens Point who were also pretty bad actors. And so Ray Pratt is really distilled from my memories of those three guys, you know, when they were in their early 20s and smoking too much weed and all that kind of stuff. Doc Osborne, who's the retired dentist, is really distilled from memories of my grandfather, who was a dentist. My dad was a dentist. My uncle was a dentist.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. And then, of course, their lives, just marriages and divorces and becoming widowers, all of that is sort of rolled into Doc Osborne. And then Lou Ferris, the chief of police. Well, first of all, that's kind of a political statement because we haven't had a female police chief, you know, chief or sheriff yet in the North Woods. But Lou is there and she's planning to stay. And she's distilled from memories I have of a favorite high school teacher, a woman, who was a fanatic fisherman. And then there were two older girls. They were both about 5 years older in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and they used to beat me up all the time. And one went on to become a college chancellor for the University of Minnesota in Duluth, where I think she's probably still beating people up. But and I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but who knows? She'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, she'd get a kick out of it. You know, we had Mary Beth posted on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. She said, every Christmas I give my brother another one of your novels. I began, and she was talking about you, I began about 4 years ago with a stack of about five of them. He passes them on to my mom, who passes them back on to me. I just finished reading one and enjoying it very much.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to hear. That's great to hear.
Do you get a lot of mail and feedback from your listeners?
You know, I do. Whenever a new book comes out, I usually get a few emails right away, and then I keep those in a mailing list, so I sort of let everybody know that there's a new one available. And people respond pretty heartily. And then recently, this whole breakthrough in the whole publishing industry with e-books, my Dead Deceiver was put up for a promotion. It was put up as a free Kindle for 2 weeks.
Oh,
I could not get over how many people downloaded it for free, read it, said, loved it, and where can I get more? So I probably, you know, and then they also started posting reviews on Amazon, which is extremely helpful. And so, yeah, I would say I have always gotten good response, but now with the ebook thing, it's like, four times as much.
Yeah, isn't so? That's a wonderful thing for an author. Then
it is absolutely, and it's great for the publisher. I think it's hard on the bookstore because all of a sudden, although I really feel a print book is not going away, and mine will be back out in print versions. There are many people who just they want a book. It's just that I think the publisher is not going to publish or print in quite the numbers that they used to. And, hopefully bookstores will stay in business. And those who specialize, like Book for Murder there in Madison, they will always be just, you know, a really wonderful hot spot for people who want hardcover mysteries or paperback mysteries.
You know, in our home now, we have, my wife calls the room the man, Larry's man cave. but actually, I think my 8-year-old daughter winds up using it more than I do. But I do have a nice sort of library, you might say, there of books. And I frankly like the idea of opening a book and turning the pages that way. And I've certainly used, I've read books online too, but there's something about the paper and the smell of the book. And
I'm the same way. And I have a funny little story because one of my favorite books is A River Runs Through It by Norman MacLean.
Yes.
And it's not just that it's beautifully written. It's also beautifully designed. Just the look, the feel, the weight. Yeah. Of the book. And years ago when I was working in publishing and in PR, I was in charge of a party for Roger Ebert, the movie critic.
Yeah.
And I was really in charge of making sure inappropriate people didn't come to the party. And so I'm standing at the door, and this rather odd-looking person was there. Their hair stood up, I swear to you, about 6 inches from their head. They looked very hippie, and I just thought, they've come to the wrong party. So I kind of went over and I said, well, you know, I'm so-and-so, and who are you? And he introduced himself, and he said he had designed Roger's book. And we started to talk about books and book design. And I said, I loved A River Runs Through It. And he looked at me and he said, I designed it. It was neat. And it was the last time I've let myself think anybody was inappropriate just based on their looks.
We're going to talk some more with Victoria Houston and inviting you to join in as we visit with her here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about the Loon Lake fishing mysteries. And we're also talking about writing and how to write with our guest, Victoria Houston, author of the Loon Lake Fishing Mystery Series. Dead Deceiver is the 11th installment in the series. She lives, writes, and fishes in northern Wisconsin. So it's great to have her along, and thank you so much for listening in. Questions or comments for her? Maybe you've read some of her books. What do you enjoy about them? Maybe you're an aspiring writer who would like some encouragement, or you have some questions. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page and post at The Larry Mueller Show. And Victoria, we have a caller, Dan from Rhinelander, up. And let's just go right to Dan. Dan, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Well, thanks for taking my call. I've read many of your books, and I haven't read the last several. I've kind of gotten out of reading lately. But when I read your books, I always picture myself like out in the Starks area, just northeast of Rhinelander. Is the Loon Lake, is that just totally fictional, or is that actually someplace in your mind when you've written these books too?
Oh, well, that's a good question, Dan. It's totally fictional. For starters, there are 14 Loon Lakes in Wisconsin. But when I think of the town of Loon Lake, I see it sort of like Brigadoon. It hovers overhead. It's like north of Wausau, south of Land O'Lakes. It's to the west of Goodman and east of Park Falls. And it's got doses of three lakes, the Eagle River, Minocqua, Rhinelander. But it's very fictional. And yet, every once in a while, when I'm setting a scene, I might pick a particular place, like McNaughton or a place in Starks, and I may describe that particular little cove or area on a lake or in the woods. And often people pick up and kind of know exactly where that is. But nevertheless, it's situated in Loon Lake. And I had a reader once say that they were very disturbed because I had a casino on Highway 45, and they knew there was no casino at this location. And I had to say to this person, please remember the F word, fiction. And I do that so that, you know, in my head as I'm writing, I can move my characters around and make it possible for them to get from point A to point B. And if you're too literal, and this is true whether you're talking about a location or a character. If you're too literal and base things too much on real life, you really hamper what you can do with that material.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Dan, for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
Appreciate it very much. We have Joanna in Eau Claire next. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Thank you for appearing today, Victoria. I'm interested in speaking with you also. I am a writer, and I'm in the process right now of deleting 40,000 words from my first novel because I have too many words. I'm down 11,000, so I'm very excited.
Okay, that's good.
I'm interested in how many months or years did it take you to hone that first one?
Well, you know, the first one took me 2.5 years, but that's because I was going through some major changes and moving from the East Coast to the Midwest and then from Missouri up to Wisconsin. So I was going through a lot of personal change at the time. But today I would say, here's what it takes for me to write a book. When I'm working on a book currently, as I am right now, I'm a fanatic newspaper reader. And Larry, this goes back to enjoying reading books. I like real newspapers. And I read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal daily and a couple other publications, and I clip stories that might have ideas for me, and I just keep those in a file. So when I am ready to start a new book, I sit down, I go through that file, I decide what really hits me right, I sort of mull it over for about a month and think about my main characters and where they are in their lives, and then I think about the secondary characters that are going to play a role in this book, and then I'll sit down and I'll do about a page and a half synopsis of what I think the book is about, and then I get started writing. And it takes me from that point about 9 months. And I have sort of I have just a natural arc for myself. I tend to write about a 35-chapter book, and I have a certain kind of pace up till the middle of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, things are changing and things need to be, we're moving much quicker towards the resolution of the story. So I probably take more time with the first half of the book. And part of that is because you're setting up your characters. You're setting the stage.
Hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joanna, for calling. I appreciate it very much. Nancy in Waupaca, we go to you now. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. How
Good
are
morning.
You? I'm calling. Oh, my gosh.
That's okay.
I'm calling because I teach fly fishing for Bow at Treehaven every year.
Oh.
Women's fly fishing. And I always talk about your books because I think they're fun.
Oh, thank
you.
And
the characters and the things that happen. And I've met all those characters on the trout stream.
I'm sure you
have. I have stories for you to put into your book.
Well, and you know, I did go to Bow twice, and I definitely took the fly fishing class. Now, this would have been about 15 years ago. And then another time I took the shotgun shooting class. And that fell in love with shotguns at that point. But my original fly fishing lessons were from Joan Wolfe, and I'm sure you're familiar with her.
Oh, that's a good teacher.
Yeah. So I went out to her school in the Catskills twice, once with my daughter as well. And I would never say I'm an expert, but it certainly is just one of those. Well, you know what I say to people is this. Fly fishing, you're in the water.
Right.
Bait fishing, you're on the water.
Right.
And those are two very different experiences. And they're, you know, they're virtues to both. And what's nice for me, I think there are hazards to both, because I know I have found myself fly fishing in upstreams where, you know, the people who live on the land there probably eat their young. And you don't want to get out of the water if you don't have to.
Well, I got so involved with it that I bought a farm with half a mile of trout river running through it.
Oh, how wonderful.
So with restoration, I can just walk out my door, and to all the women who are in my classes, I said, oh, you've got to come to my farm and go fishing. It's safe. It's comfortable. The river is great.
Oh,
so you
wonderful.
Still fly fish.
I do. I don't get out as often as I'd like, probably out a couple times a year. Part of the problem, as you well know, is sometimes when you have the time to go out, the water's very high or the weather's bad.
Right.
And then, again, when you have, or like right now in August, you know, this is like, you know, just not the best time to be fly fishing. Mm-hmm. But, yes, and I have so many good friends who fly fish, too. And, you know, and then my dad had taken it up just before he died, and I have trout flies that some of his good friends gave him and have given me since. And some days I'm torn between whether, you know, I want to put that art object at the end of a leader. So,
or is it the secret fly that can catch?
Yes, exactly.
I heard you talk about Norman McLean and the river runs through it. And I live in Hyde Park in Chicago.
Oh.
And years ago, it was a March day. It was kind of gray, and I was bored. And I called up Norman, and I said, Norman, how would you like to go to lunch with a middle-aged lady, and we'll talk trout fly fishing? And he said, well, that sounds good. When? I said, well, I'm free today. He said, so am I. So I had several lunches with him, and then he had a stroke. He was writing his book about the men in fire.
And yeah, I've read that.
But Bob Redford was coming to see him at that point because he got the film rights to the book. So we had some good stories with Norman.
That's wonderful.
You, how fortunate.
It was fortunate. I got all these used books. River Runs Through It. He autographed them very begrudgingly. He was kind of curmudgeon sometimes.
Yeah.
And gave them to friends, and we all treasure him a lot.
Oh, that's just a book I go back, I reread every. I would rank that book with my other favorites, which are O Pioneers and My Antonia by Willa Cather. There's just a clarity to those books, and they seem very contemporary, and there are lines in Norman McLean's book that, you know, you just want to read over and over.
Nancy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Dick in Broadhead, we turn to you. Hi, Dick.
Hi. I'd like to tell Victoria how much I love her books.
Well, thank you.
I got acquainted with your books was your first one was read on this chapter day, and so from there I went to bought a couple of your books, and then I went to my local public library, which is part of the South Central Wisconsin network.
Sure.
And said, do you have any books by Victoria Houston? They said no.
Huh.
I said, well, she's a Wisconsin author. You ought to have them. She said, we'll order it right away. She says, we'd love to have Wisconsin authors on the shelf. So
well,
I'm one of your big.
Oh, that's a great story.
Well, not only that, I had no idea that one of my books was read on chapter day. You've just made my day.
Ah.
Holy cow.
Oh, we lost. Oh, nuts. We lost him.
Oh,
you're still there?
Yeah.
It was quite a few years ago, I would guess.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. It's been like 5 years ago or more.
Oh, well, that's neat. I love knowing that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling, Dick.
Yeah, you bet. Oh, one other thing.
Yeah.
Dead Deceiver was the first one of your books where I figured out who the bad guy was before the second to the last chapter.
Well, good. I hope that didn't ruin it for you.
No, it didn't. It didn't. Good. I just was proud of myself. I figured it out so soon.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
Thank you for calling.
Keep on writing. I love your books.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dick. Thank you very much for calling. You know, you mentioned, before we get to Dan in River Falls, you mentioned the flies, and, you know, we're talking about the titles, too. And all of your titles start with the word dead.
Correct, and that was a marketing decision made when my first books were published by Berkeley Prime Crime, which is a division of Penguin Putnam. And I'm happy with that. I got a little worried, though, after the third book. I had turned in a different title, and they titled that one Dead Water. So now we had Dead Angler, Dead Creek, Dead Water. And these people live and work in New York City, and they don't get a lot of fresh air. And I was thinking, if I don't come up with a better angle on this, they're going to call the next one Dead Duck. So that's when I started using titles that kind of are related to fishing lures or trout flies. And I find I have to find that title before I can start a book, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I need the title and that synopsis and probably a couple of key names. And people might be interested to know I get the names for the characters out of the local telephone book. I change them a little bit so I won't get sued. But, you know, the names in this part of the country, in this region, are so unique to the people who settled here. You know, you don't get Halowinski down in Georgia.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can join in too if you have a question or comment. Maybe you've read some of Victoria's books. I'd love to hear from you about that as well at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. Now let's go to Dan in River Falls. Dan, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks. I've enjoyed the show. I'm actually driving up north now to my cabin with my Bernese Mountain Dog and my laptop to do the final editing on my novel.
Oh, and good.
So, yeah. And here's my question, and congratulations on your success. I've had a fair amount of luck as a freelancer, and just recently I had a 4,000-word piece in the Cap Times, and I've sold things to sports magazines. But to be honest, just not a nibble with an agent on the novel. And so what I've decided at this point, I've met with an e-publishing partner, and I'm going to e-publish. And you brought up e-publishing, and I wonder, should I second guess? I mean, what do you think about persevering to find an agent versus you can't find an agent, so let's just get out there on the Kindles with Amazon and e-publish it? What's your opinion of that?
Well, I really think you should do both. And I think if you do get your work up as an e-book and you get a good response out there, that'll make it easier to get the agent. But I wonder, have you used the Writer's Market, that book, which is updated annually, and it gives you not only some very good guidelines for how to query agents, but I think it has a good reference to the website that has all the accredited agents on it. And there's another, you're driving, so I don't know if you can remember this or not, but there's a very, very good website, publishersmarketplace.com. And I think it costs something to subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. But once you're in, they post all the current news in publishing, and they post books who've just been sold and what the who the agent is and who it's been sold to. And that's a very good way to get some ideas for some agents to approach, because what you want to do, you want to approach an agent who is already handling some books kind of like the one you've written. Mm-hmm. And another good way to find out, you know, some good contacts is to just look at some similar books and see if they acknowledge their agent in their acknowledgement page. But keep on trying. But I think you want both, because I don't think that, well, the agent is your business partner, and the agent does the negotiating for you and keeps you. Now, if you're going strictly ebook, and many, many people are, you know, that's okay. But I think you reach a larger audience if you have both.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for being on the show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, we've been talking about so many things. We haven't really talked at all about your latest book, which I have right here in front of me, as a matter of fact, Dead Deceiver, and maybe you can sort of set the stage for our listeners.
Well, one of the things I like about this book, and especially in contrast to what the gentleman just said, is that if you have a formal publisher, they do such a nice job. I mean, I love the cover on this book.
Yeah, I do too.
It's very, you know, the book is set in the wintertime. It's very haunting, and I think it captures that flavor quite nicely. And then it just so happens by coincidence I have some friends visiting currently. The husband is a lawyer. He's a criminal lawyer. And he had shared with me the details of a case detailing computer fraud that really sparked my ideas for this book. So in refining that real-life experience that my friend had defending these criminals, I was able to come up with a good, you know, storyline that based on fact and pretty darn alarming.
Yeah, very, very alarming. But you get Doc and you get Lou and you get Ray hot on the trail.
I do. I get everybody working on it. And because it's set in the wintertime, there's not too much live action fishing, but there's some ice fishing. And there's, you know, an ice fishing contest with the ice fishing shanties. And we do here in the Northwoods, we have an international ice fishing contest.
Yep.
People come from all over the world. And so I worked that in. And I've had good feedback on this story. People have really enjoyed it.
And you do, you're speaking of winter, but you write about, actually your books are normally set in different seasons.
They are. I like to move around. The one thing I do, which I think is probably interesting to the writers that might be listening, is I made a decision a few years ago. After working in humor book publishing with cartoonists, famous people like Gary Larson and Bill Watterson and Gary Trudeau, and watching how people make a decision whether or not to age their characters, I have decided that Lou, Ray, and Doc Osborne will never grow old.
Ah, or any older, at least.
Or, yeah, they will pretty much stay the same age. So the storylines move up to be, you know, pretty contemporary, maybe set about a year or two ago. And, yes, people do have cell phones and computers and all that kind of stuff. But my folks are going to stay pretty much the same age.
I like that. I'm glad you're doing it that way.
Thank you. Too bad we can't all do that, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, what you mentioned, you have another Loon Lake fishing mystery to look for. We have to look forward to.
I am. I'm working on Dead Tees, and if all goes well, I'll turn that into the publisher in late September, and that should be available right after the first of the year.
And now, how is Dead Deceiver doing?
Dead Deceiver is doing great. And at the risk of offending some of our bookstore owners out there, I'm selling more of that book on Kindle than I am in hard copy, which is interesting. But no, Dead Deceiver's been doing great. We're getting great reviews on my Amazon page for it. And again, I'm just very happy with the physical look of the book as well.
You've given a lot. I mean, I know you give talks about the craft of and the art of writing fiction.
I do.
Is it fun?
The writing? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always terrifying getting started every morning. But once you're into it, you sort of zone. You hit the zone. And I can put about two and a half hours of, you know, solid work in on a book. And then I go off and I do other, you know, projects. But during that time, when I'm finished, there's a great sense of satisfaction, and it's a lot of fun. The research is a lot of fun.
Yeah, the research has got to be a lot of fun.
It's fun, and I have to tell you, the response from readers is great, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
And teaching, you like teaching it as well?
I would say not. You know what I do like? I like giving talks, and, you know, I give a talk that's the three major life mistakes I've made that forced me to write these mysteries, and that's all about finding my way to finally doing the first manuscript. But, you know, I'm not a teacher, and I can give a little bit of advice, but I think I always, you know, point people in the direction of some good writers' conferences, and Chicago has, you know, a very good mystery writers' conference, and Madison does too, and I think people learn really well by sort of sitting down with other, you know, aspiring writers.
Always a pleasure, Victoria. We'll look forward to our next visit. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Victoria Houston, author of Dead Deceiver and a whole bunch of other Loon Lake mysteries. Great to have her with us. When her next book comes out, I bet we'll have her back. Just to let you know, tomorrow on the show, David Drake will be here. We're going to have a little quiz for you with a nice prize that'll accompany it. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.